Coming up on Patriots This Week. It was a primetime battle for AFC bragging rights, but the Texans weren't ready for some football.
Brady looks, fires left, caught, end zone, touchdown, Aaron Hernandez. Wide open, touchdown! 10-5, end zone, touchdown!
We just did a few things better than they did tonight.
On a starry, starry night in Foxborough, the Patriots messed with Texas, lassoing a win that echoed through the NFL.
We came to this game with a chip on our shoulders. I finally feel like we put together four quarters of football.
You know, we played hard. We expected to play hard. And it was a tough win.
The new dad was his old self, even trying out his running shoes.
Not a big threat. I'm not like RG3 back there or anything, but... I can make a first down.
Now another test. One of the NFC's best. Bring it on.
Coming to Foxborough is going to be a tough place for any team to win.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
The Houston Texans rolled into Foxborough with their big boy varsity jackets on, looking to prove a point. They left with more questions than answers. The Patriots routed the Texans 42-14. And the rest is history. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak. And joining me each and every week, as usual, former Patriots linebacker Matt Chatham, former Patriots tight end. You're a tight end.
Yeah.
Jermaine Wiggins. when you win 11 games in the National Football League, I think you're accomplishing something. Now, were they just not ready for primetime? Or they haven't been in that moment? Or was the problem that they build this as the biggest game in their franchise's history?
I don't think they were ready for this game. And if you go back into that game and sort of catalog all the firsts, first play of the game, guy lines up illegally. First special teams play of the game, other than the touchback that doesn't count, 31-yard return. First third down opportunity, someone gets a holding penalty on Wes Welker. First time the ball's on the ground, they don't get it. First red zone opportunity, the first high row at red play, they throw a pick to McCourty. All the firsts, all those sort of indications of whether we're not ready to go, by that time it was 21-0 and they were buried. So to me, they just weren't ready.
I think the lights were too bright for a young team where that had never been in that position, where a Patriots team, they had been in positions like that many a times before, so they knew how to handle that adversity. And like you said, a lot of those firsts that you talk about, it's maybe you don't get what you need to accomplish on that first time, but how do you bounce back from that? And I didn't think they bounced
back.
Real quick,
I mean, they do have a lot of core, hardcore veterans on that team. I mean, but I think you mean young as far as the way they were put together.
Yeah, and when I say young, I mean as far as their experiences. Not how many years they've been in the league, but how many times they've been on that big stage.
Ridley fumbles early in the game. There's Hernandez to pounce on it. Next thing you know, looks like he got dinged, stays in the game. Brady hits him on a touchdown. Later in the game, J.J. Watt pops the ball out of Woodhead on the screen. Brandon Lloyd's there. Their timing's been pretty good.
Yeah, and hustle, you know, we talk about it is lucky, but sometimes you can make your own luck by awareness and hustle and things like that. But I would say there is a caveat to this game because the ball was on the ground twice. So I think that is something where Coach Belichick's going to go back and say, hey, we made great fortune. We did a good job, but we were twice in the red zone and put the ball on the ground. That might not happen to you next week, and maybe against 49ers, maybe even against a lesser team like Miami. You don't do that. So we got away with it, and we capitalized when they did it. But that can't continue. So I think it is one of those games where, yes, it was 42-14, but there's certainly learning stuff in there that say we were a little bit fortunate in a couple situations.
Tom Brady wins Offensive Player of the Week in the AFC. I think it's his 23rd award. I think it breaks a record in the NFL. It's been a heck of a week for him. Has his first baby girl born the week prior, so he doesn't lose sleep. He goes out and throws four touchdown passes, almost 300 yards again. He's back in the MVP discussion. And then this past week we had 12-12-12. He wears the number 12. It's been a heck of a week, Matt, huh?
Yeah, don't good things kind of come in bunches? I think so. Yeah, I mean, obviously he earns the good fortune that he has, and I think, you know, it's always great to expand your family. I think what people like to see is just how competitive he is, and he keeps getting better. He keeps improving. We know that it wasn't perfect. There's been games where he had less than Tom, which is still better than most, but a couple times this year. But your point, Zoe, he's back in that MVP discussion. You know, I think Manning's in it because of sentimental reasons, although he's obviously played really well.
Their numbers are almost identical, but Brady's only got four picks.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. But the one thing that I love about Brady, and as you watch him as a player, that you have to respect is the guy he plays with passion. You see that passion in him as a player. There's other quarterbacks, they get in the league, they play a long time, they get all of those accolades, and maybe that passion is not there. But this guy, that passion is there from practice to preseason to training camp.
Yeah, but this was different, and I think we notice it as ex-players. You know, I get to the stadium 3 hours before. There's always a routine these guys go through. And here you are in year 13. There's a little more in that little 100-yard, you know, kind of candy, you know what, jog all the way down the field. And he stays down that end zone a little bit more. And there's the Houston defensive backs all stretching out. That's done all for purpose and intent, telling them this is our night tonight.
Yeah, and I think the reason why he does that too, Zoe, is because he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's a guy that's he feels
infectious.
Like, yeah, he feels like, you know what, by being drafted in the sixth round, that was a slap in my face. And then when you talk about the MVP voting, it's never Tom Brady at the top of the list. It's always somebody else. And he's kind of like, you know, and I think that really plays into his passion and the way he is as a player.
I've been fighting the anti-Brandon Lloyd crowd, and it's been out there echoing pretty well for the last 6 weeks. He's soft. He won't go over the middle, this and that. Matt, you see the guy. He pops this night. 7 catches, 89 yards.
You know, the doghouse argument to me made no sense because even in the Miami game where the target number was relatively low, on the most important drive of the game, he's getting the deep comeback isolated on the opposite side of the field. And one thing I think fans often don't realize, when you just look at a targets or catch number, you have to go back and watch the film and see how many times Tom would have liked to have gone to him. Mm-hmm. There were actually two opportunities in that Miami game where Solder, I believe, gave up a spin move into Tom's lap, and Tom was eyeing Lloyd, would have loved to have gone to him, but he doesn't get the target, doesn't get the throw. So you got to understand, there's a big game going on out there. I don't think I've ever felt like we felt with last year's 85 that there was some sort of confidence issue in the guy. It's just not true.
I don't think it's confidence issue, but I think there is an issue as far as what we thought he was going to be coming into this year. I think our expectations of him were as a player were a lot higher.
When's the last time you saw a safety break on the ball the way McCourty did?
You know what? Did a tremendous job. Yeah, you know,
played the ball.
Yeah, and that was the one thing kind of
quarterback's eyes.
Me and Matt were looking at it, but before we got on, we kind of seeing where he was playing. Tremendous job of being able to read the quarterback. Not very good job of Matt Schaub.
Yeah, well, I think that was important. We talked about this last week. Once they get in the high red, Matt Schaub was always a one read it. If it ain't there, go to the check
down. Scared him down.
He threw a seam route to a post safety. And if he'd have kept his trend, he would have gone to the check down, who Mayo was hugging but let go, and it would have been a touchdown to Justin Forsett. So maybe that's that pressure issue, ready to play the Patriots, feeling like you got to get 7. He never normally, by tendency, would have gone to that throw, but maybe you feel like you got to score from that area. They didn't. They didn't do the safe thing, which actually probably would have got him points, and the rest was history.
We sat here last week, J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt. I think I even did a telestrator, J.J. Watt. Yeah. Yet the defensive lineman for this team kind of made us not forget about J.J. Watt. Hit Brady 5 times, did get contact on him. Vince Wilfork took this game into his own hands. Matt, you watch the film on defense. Why is he getting these opportunities? Because when we go back and look at the replay, it's not like, hey, wow, they left him one-on-one. He's getting through double teams.
He does it a lot of different ways. He does it through press, pushing the pocket. He does it through pursuit, where he actually can pull and jerk and make a play 2 or 3 slots over that you don't otherwise see. We've seen him chase down swing passes.
Yep.
We've seen him just simply do games with guys. And we've also seen him just simply shed and hold the point on a two-man double team and then get off and make plays. The point is, it's not, you know, you'll often have really good big interior guys that do 3 or 4 of those things we talk, but not all 5. So the fact that he's so versatile, I think, is probably the biggest issue.
Coming up next, we talk about a decision was made this past week that changed Bounty Gate, and maybe there's some changes in the rules coming up on Kickoffs. That's next in Rants and Raves.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Devin McCourty is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. The 5'10", 195-pound defensive back's move to safety has shored up the Patriots' secondary. Against the Texans, McCourty seemingly came from nowhere to pick off Matt Schaub at the goal line and spark one of the team's best defensive efforts of the season. The third-year pro out of Rutgers now has 4 interceptions on the season. This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
It was a tough week for Roger Goodell. His predecessor, Paul Tagliabue, was handpicked to handle the appeal process for the New Orleans Saints players and the Bounty Gate scandal. Now, Tagliabue ruled in favor of the players. You guys have been following the story for a while now. Was this the right decision?
Yeah,
lifting those, vacating the suspension?
I think it was, but I think what Goodell he did and he does at times. I think he jumps the gun with suspensions and fines instead of saying, let me get all the information here. Let me pump my brakes a little bit and figure out where I want to suspend guys, how much I want to fine guys. And sometimes because you have that power, you're quick to react. And I think, you know, Tagliabue stepping in and maybe saying, well, that
people forget, yeah. Goodell works for the owners.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I think, you know, he stepped in and said, you know what, the punishment doesn't really fit the crime. How does one guy get the same amount as the head coach,
right,
and the guy in the front office gets less than a player? So I think it's more or less, you know, him saying, hey, let's step back a little bit and let's look at all the evidence.
There's a reason they do that, and I don't agree with it, but I understand it. I always think that these fines have a lot less to do with sort of punitive things with Jonathan Vilmer, Scott Fujita. It's public messaging, and I think that's really what this is all about. The idea that they jump to conclusions is because they feel like they have to get something out there to say, hey, we don't stand for this.
For some reason this past week, too, they said, hey, let's all get wacky. Let's talk about taking kickoffs out of the game. You guys are former special teams players. I think there's a place in this game for special teamers, and it's not just about protecting the superstars. Matt, start with you. Good rule, bad rule if this thing gets changed?
Does have any guests?
Wiggy next.
I was only on kickoff return. I wasn't that with that.
Well, here's the thing. I even don't like the phrase "place in this game." It is the game,
yeah.
And that's the problem I have. It's, I actually really appreciate the job that Roger Goodell does for the league of the NFL. But when you use phrases like trying to protect the integrity of the game, I don't think he understands the game. The game is over here. The league is over here. Mm-hmm. His job of controlling and maximizing the business of the NFL, very good. And I'm sure that's why the owners give him the new contract and love him for that. But you can't, these things are not mutually exclusive. And you can really be contradictory in trying to protect the league and actually doing something bad for the game. The game includes kickoffs. Mm-hmm. That's not your choice. The biggest problem I have with this is the information they're basing this off of. They've created this sort of meme, this idea that kickoffs are more dangerous. Well, I can tell you firsthand, there's a lot of hits in the NFL that are just as violent, just as dangerous as that one. But that one has a brand, and they're attacking it. And I think for reasons of litigation, not for reality. And I would challenge till my dying day the validity of this information, because it's not true.
All right, the cool thing about playing on a Monday night is you get to sit back on Sunday and watch some of the other games. And you're thinking, boy, we have such a high view or high value of the Baltimore Ravens. They take a step back. They end up firing Cam Cameron, their offensive coordinator. The one that shocked me, though, was, boy, that really opens the door for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're playing at home. They lose to San Diego.
Yeah, I was very surprised. But San Diego's one of those teams, though. I mean, you could get...
They got talent.
Yeah, they got talent. You could get a great San Diego team one week, and then next week you could get a San Diego team. Like, wow, you serious?
That's the type of team, like, if you're the fourth seed, that's the last team you'd want to see wild card weekend if you got to host them, because they could come in and they could light you up. All right, guys, good stuff right there in Rants and Raves. Coming up next, we find out, who is this guy Colin Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49ers? All right, it really feels like Groundhog Day around here. 2 weeks ago, Cameron Wake, big pass rusher on the outside. Last week, well, J.J. Watt, Antonio Smith. This week, here we go again, Aldon Smith, former Missouri Tiger on the outside. Tell me he doesn't remind you of Chandler Jones right here. Go ahead and watch the swim move. Outside leverage, little slip inside. That's that hand-to-hand combat. That applies pressure at the feet of the quarterback. Right here at the top of your screen, Justin Smith down at the bottom. He gets the good inside push. That's just crashing the edge, taking that pocket and condensing it. And this is the one to watch right here. You think, well, he just juked you out. Watch this one. Watch where he gets leverage right here. Go ahead and run the tape on the tackle, up underneath, bull rushes it. The number one thing that concerns a quarterback is having people at your feet. You can't step into your throw, so you better find out where Aldon Smith is all the time. In two seasons, Jim Harbaugh has proved that he could coach in the National Football League. 13-3 were the 49ers last year. They made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. Currently 9-3-1. What do you like when you see the 49ers?
When you look at this defense, are those two linebackers, Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis. These guys, they look like they can do everything. And, you know, Matt's got to love Bowman, because here's a guy who plays on every special teams, and he plays and he's a starter. But those two guys in the middle, I think, you know, maybe one of them might have the ability to run with a guy like Hernandez. And if not, they got a guy like Golston in the back end who can come up and lay the wood.
What I like is that they have a really good confusion element. They actually will three-man rush a lot, which, you know, is tough to do, yet still get pressure. There's always someone who drops out. Alden Smith is a guy with all these sacks he's got. Yet occasionally he'll be the guy that looks like he's coming and doesn't. Ahmad Brooks is another guy that we're not mentioning. He's had a long career in Cincinnati. He's had a good sack number. They feel comfortable enough with Brooks and with Smith.
5.5 sacks.
Yeah, with Brooks and Smith, where they'll move around and they'll show in the line as if they're getting a four, and then drop one, and then do three-man games with the three that are left. It's a confusing week. I think for offensive line, you're going to have to really study up. You're going to have to get on some tendencies of when they come and don't come. But the confusion element, I think, is the thing that Fazio does really well.
I couldn't understand the switch. You know, you have a guy that led you to an NFC Championship game. You're going to bench him not because of the injury. Well, obviously, he's down because of the injury. He completed 70% of his passes to that time. Led you to, I think, a 7-3 record. Yeah. Then they make the move to go with Kaepernick, and they said they're going this way with him. Is that a bold move by Harbaugh, or a silly move by him? It seems like the team likes Kaepernick better than they like Smith.
I don't know.
Or they react more emotionally with him.
Yeah, I don't know that. I just know that when you watch them on film, and even just following box scores, they have a tough time. This is not a team that's going to put up 30 or 40 points. So they're banking a lot on the Niners holding down Tom to maybe a less than 30 kind of game. They're really only putting up high teens, low 20 numbers. You have to know that going in against the Patriots, they probably ain't going to cut it.
And the one thing that they proved that they can score over 30 points with a guy like Alex Smith, because they did
that's
year.
My point.
They did it last year against New Orleans when they had that shootout in the playoff game where New Orleans and them were going back and forth. So they've shown that they can win a 30-plus game with a guy like
it's a
Alex Smith.
Style. And they're forced into it. So.
Yeah, it definitely is. So
say they get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This team here in Foxborough just lit the scoreboard, put 42 up there. Do you prepare for Alex Smith?
When you're trying to figure out which quarterback it's going to be, it's a lot about pocket control. So it's going to be, you know, they'll be running different maybe blitz schemes, run schemes or whatever to control the pocket versus Alex Smith. I don't think the route tree necessarily changes. So does he have a tendency about where he goes with the ball? Not so much. But I think it's an awareness with the front guys. Yeah. If you're playing end, you know, this guy cannot break the pocket to me. We want to contain him. If it's Alex Smith, it's Tom Brady stuff. Get him off the spot. Beat him in the side. Get him moving out and about.
All right, they got Randy Moss. I think Randy has 5 touchdowns. The problem is he's averaging 15.5 per catch. You play with Randy. Is he going to be juiced for this game?
I definitely think he is. And if you go back and you really watch the...
So don't you feed him then if you're them?
Well, I don't think you necessarily have to feed him. I think what you've done and what San Francisco has done with him, they've put him in positions where they've used him as a decoy, where they've ran him out and they brought Vernon Davis on like a corner route and they were able to open up an area. And at times they'll be able to do that because you still have to respect the guy's speed, the guy's ability, and you see defenses do that.
Watch the first time they cross the 50. That's a big shot opportunity in the NFL. He's your shotgun.
They're in red zone.
Exactly. As soon as they cross the high red, as soon as you get in the 30, look for a play. It's not going to be all over the field, and I don't think he's going to warrant a double team or a top or anything like that because he's such a small part of the offense. 5 catches in game one. I don't think there's been anything more than 3 for the last 13, 14 weeks. So it's tough to game plan for that because you certainly can't play the whole game for that one top play. It's like doing that for Matthew Slater. Yes, he can run past you too. I didn't mean to make that analogy. Obviously, Randy Moss. But the idea is I don't think it's going to be that big of a factor.
No. All right, guys, good stuff. I think we made some predictions here last week, and we're going to do it again. We all missed on it. We'll see if that score, 42 points, influences this prediction. Coming up next, our predictions on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe with this week's Fantasy Lowdown. Week 15 usually means playoffs, and Lance Moore of the Saints can help you advance. He's my must-start, having a productive, if inconsistent, season, but facing Tampa Bay, a defense he torched earlier this season. A guy to sit, Tony Romo, especially if he's without Dez Bryant. The Steelers' top-ranked D will turn it around from last week. And here's a sleeper, Joik Bell. Yep, it's pronounced Joik, and the Detroit Lion will run all over the Arizona Cardinals. That's the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
Since 2006, when NBC started doing Sunday Night Football, Patriots are only 6-6, guys. That's 500. Does that influence your decision, Matt, or does them putting up 42 points help out?
Yeah, I can't be influenced by that. I'm going with a hot hand. The Patriots are smoking right now, and this is such a tough place to come into this time of year. 36-23 Patriots.
Ooh, like it. How about you, Wiggy?
Well, I went 27-24 last week. I went with the right team, but this week I'm going with the Patriots. Like you said, hot hand. I'm going 34-21. Too much offense for the Patriots.
Not enough offense
for San Fran. I think it could be a lot of bend but don't break. And David Akers, their kicker, only hitting about 70%, meaning we could have a couple wide right, wide left. And I think weather might be an issue on Sunday night. I'm taking the Patriots 34-17. And face it, it's another laugher. That's what I'm predicting. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots History.